It's a great joy for me to be back in your midst after 1 year. And this year, I have come with my wife, Shimona. And one of the main reasons of bringing her forward was that the Lord had been good to us in our family. In 2012, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, stage 4. And in the midst of all of that, there was a time when we were really worried and scared what was going to happen. It was when the doctors gave us that news, ground from under my foot slipped. But we trusted in God, we believed in God. The Lord heard our prayer and answered our prayer. 16 chemotherapies and 32 radiations. Today she stands strong and healthy in your midst to know and speak only one thing, our God reigns. Amen. Our God is a God who hears and answers prayer. Yes, doctors are there. Yes, medicines are there. But in the midst of all of this, to see how God's been moving, and it's been amazing what God has done in her life. Usually, people that go through chemotherapy and radiations, body shrinks, shrivels, you lose your weight. In her case, every time, it was the opposite. When she was going back after every chemotherapy, her blood count was going 12.5 and above. The second thing was her weight was increasing. And when this was happening, doctors were worried whether the chemo was even working or not. And the funniest thing of the third part of the whole thing was, by the 14th chemotherapy, she had gained 2 inches in height. When I got married to her in 1989, she was already 2 inches taller than me. Now, typical in the Indian custom, you know, it's like a thing like the husband being shorter and the wife being taller, for me to be standing in the church and look up at her and say, I accept you. So when I was getting married, I had already 2 inches done to my heel of my shoes. So I could look level to level with her and say, I accept you. Now the doctor says she's gained 2 inches in height. I said, Shimona, stop it now. Don't ask me to add another 2 inches to my heel now. Friends, as we laugh and we rejoice, we know of this one fact. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's God who strengthens us. It's God who encourages us. It's God who takes us through all the situation and proves himself once again that he is on the throne. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much. In the time that's been given to me, I'm going to be brief and share with you of what God has done in the last 1 year in Kashmir. Along with that, bring a word of encouragement to each one of you. North Point Church, you as a church have been behind us, praying for us, upholding us in your prayers, standing with us in times of need. And every step as you have been there behind, praying for us and upholding us in your prayers, I have come back after 1 year to let you know our God is on the throne. God has done amazing things. And to give you a brief report of what God has done in this past 1 year, 8 new churches have been established with over 595 churches that have been established in those Himalayan region throughout the Himalayas. Today, God is moving in an amazing way right from the Tibetan border down to Burma, throughout those areas where people have never ever heard the name of Jesus. Today, people are putting their simple trust in God. Lives are being changed. People are being won into the kingdom of God. As people are seeing the light of the gospel of a true and a living God, they're putting their simple trust in God. Today, amazing things are happening. 8 new churches have been established. three leadership seminars. We were able to conduct. Many of these pastors were working in interior remote villages. Many of them have no place to be encouraged. There's not another person to kneel down with them or put an arm around them. We conduct leadership seminars and conferences for these pastors so that they could be encouraged and blessed. And as a result of that, three leadership seminars were conducted where over a total of 850 pastors were encouraged, blessed, and challenged. We were able to do four women's retreats, out of which six new women's cell groups have been established. I had mentioned to you last year, my wife started a ministry among the women. Many of the women up in those interior remote villages have no freedom of their own. Many of them stay in their locked homes, in their rooms. They do not have any freedom to go out to buy the groceries. Husbands go and do most of that. These women had no freedom. Many of them were very badly treated. As a result of that, we started with 10 women on the rolls initially 15 years back. And that, after a year and a half, they were sent out two by two to start five cell groups. As a result, today, we have over 67 women cell groups with over 1,800 women worshiping in these 67 cell groups. Amen. Many of these women found a new meaning and a purpose in their life, and it's exciting because of the women's cell group. Many of the men have turned to the Lord and their families have started coming to worship. In this last 1 year, we were able to do one vacation Bible school along with the Sunday school that is going on. We were able to do one vacation Bible school where over 475 children came and attended the vacation Bible school for 10 days. From morning 9 till evening 5 o'clock, we were able to do this vacation Bible school. Out of the 475 children that attended, 80% of the children were all from non-Christian backgrounds. They were from the Muslim, from the Hindu, and the Sikh backgrounds. They came and attended. The children really enjoyed as they learned Sunday school songs and Bible stories and verses. It was really exciting to see how the children performed in those 10 days. Finally, on the last day, we had their parents come and join in for that program. In this 1 year, as I have often mentioned, our focus of our ministry is being the unreached areas and the unreached people groups where there's no church, no work, no ministry. Train up young men and women and send them to those places. In this last 1 year, 45 pastors were commissioned and sent out to the unreached people groups where they have gone to proclaim the gospel. At the same time, I also mentioned last year of the Christmas outreach that we do. For often we've been doing it in the four walls of our church, among our homes and families and our people. But we said those people out there need to know why Jesus came to the earth. Why was he born in that little manger in Bethlehem? And so for the last 15 years, we've been taking Christmas out to the people in schools, colleges, universities, hospitals, prisons, and army camps. We've been able to do the Christmas programs. Last year of 2014, December from the 15th till the 25th, that's nearly about 11 to 12 days, we were able to have 4 to 5 programs every day. As a result of that, 3 universities, 6 colleges, 22 high schools, 4 prisons, 12 army camps, and 28 villages, we were able to reach out during Christmas. A total of 55,000 people were reached with the message of Christmas, where over 40,000 copies of the New Testament were given, and 1,000 copies of the full Bible were given to the people. Amen? Amen. We've taken it out to the people so that they get an opportunity to know and hear why Jesus came into the earth. In a nutshell, of the whole of the region, from the Tibetan border down to Burma, throughout the Himalayas, out of the 485 churches that are there, today, by God's grace, the reports that have come in are 2,850 people have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, and over 1,800 people have been baptized. Amen? Church, we need to be excited. We need to be thrilled at what God is doing. We serve a God who hears and answers prayer. We serve a God who does the impossible into possible. And today, God is moving in an amazing way through signs, wonders, and miracles. People are getting to know who the Savior Jesus is. Many of these interior villages do not have a pastor. There's no one to go and tell them. Who will go and tell them? And God is revealing himself to these people through signs, wonders, and miracles. Up in the mountains in Kashmir, in one of the remote villages, there has been a lady who has been paralyzed on bed for nearly 5 years. She's nearly about 35 years old. 5 years, she's paralyzed on the bed, went to every pilgrimage area that she could go. She went to every holy city and town that she could go and take a dip in the holy rivers. She's done everything, went and did every witchcraft that she could do, spent all the money she had, finally at the verge of committing suicide, disappointed, discouraged. That's when one of our pastors, traveling, walking through those mountains, came across this lady in this house. As he sat and heard the whole story, he sat down and told about Jesus Christ, who came into the earth and died on the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood because he loved mankind. He shared the message of the gospel to her. And 2 weeks later, she came to the church. She was brought to the church on the bed. As a church, we together prayed for her that God would do a miracle. Nothing happened. 3 weeks later in the morning, one day, she woke up at 6 o'clock. When she got up at 6 o'clock, she felt some tingling sensation through her body. And that's when she realized she was able to lift her right arm. And in a few minutes, she was able to move her right leg. And in about 6 minutes, she was standing on her feet, screaming on top of her voice. Everybody in the home thought maybe she fell off the bed, only to see her standing on both her feet. The Lord miraculously healed her after 5 years of being paralyzed on the bed. She was totally healed, standing on both her feet. She, the following Sunday, walked down the mountain, took the public transportation, came to the church, and stood there and testified of what God had done in her life. Amen. She came back to her own village and found people who were in trouble, people in problem, and said, "You need to go to the church." She was bringing other people to the church and asking them to be prayed for. She said, "This Jesus is for real. This Jesus can do the impossible into possible." Saved, got the healing. The next day, she's become an evangelist. She wants to tell others of what God has done in her life. She's excited. She's thrilled. Just like the Andrew in the Bible, she was drawing people to the house of God. She said, "You need to meet this Jesus. You need to get to know who this Jesus is. This Jesus can set you free. This Jesus can do the impossible into possible." As I tell this story and these testimonies, and tell you of what God's doing, many of you are sitting here so quiet. Many of you are sitting here and saying, "Does this really work? I mean, do these things even happen today?" Just let me tell you something. My Bible says, my God is the same who is yesterday, today, and forever. He can do the impossible into possible even today. The problem is not the church. The problem is not the pastor. The problem is us. The problem is we do not believe. right down through the generations, we've read the Bible. We claim the promises of the Word of God. We read every verse in the Bible. We know God is there. He's God who's alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can do the impossible. But the problem is we do not believe. As I've traveled around the world, I've found one thing. Christians are the most miserable people on the universe. They say they believe in a God. They say there is a God who hears and answers prayer. But seldom do they believe it in their own lives. Church, let me tell you something. If God can do this in those nations, if God can do it in Iraq, if God can do it in Iran, God can do it in China, God can do it in this country also, the need that is for the hour is that we believe in the Word of God, get back to the foundation of the Word of God and say, Lord, I know you can do the impossible into possible, and we put our simple trust in God. It's nothing else you and I have to do. Put our simple trust in God. He will do that even today in our midst. Amen. I can stand here and tell you so many stories. I guess I remember, maybe I told the story last year when I came, of the lady who was married at the age of 15, 30 years into her married life, no children, disappointed, discouraged, ridiculed and mocked by her in-laws and her family and her relatives. At the verge of committing suicide, heard from some of her friends in a close-by village, some of the ladies meet together. She walked through the jungle for 45 minutes, found where the ladies met, sat down there, and finally, the ladies that were running the meeting got her whole story, told about a Jesus who can do the impossible into possible. 6 weeks later, we had a women's retreat. And when we had the women's retreat over there, she came in and attended the women's retreat. And after the women's retreat was over, she went back. And 6 months later, she came back again for another women's retreat. As she got into that women's retreat over there, she was the first one who wanted to come and testify. She came up to tell what God had done in her life. And we somehow remembered about her story, so we said, we didn't know what was coming up. So I gave her the microphone. She's never held a microphone. The moment I gave her the microphone, she held a microphone like this. I mean, she's seen people use cell phones. And as she stood there with her head down, she was shy, she was blushing, she said, married at the age of 15, 30 years into a married life, no children. But with her head down, blushing, she said, well, I have a good news for you. I am 6 months pregnant now. She suddenly picked her eyes up and looked at all the ladies and she said, there were about 400 ladies gathered for the women's retreat. She said, this Jesus is for real. He's done this miracle in my life. He can do this miracle for you. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you and your family will be saved. She said that much, put the microphone down, and she went and sat down. I came up to give the message. I'm scratching my head and I didn't know what to speak. This lady already spoke. How do you outdo something like that? Church, God is doing amazing things. And he can do it in our midst even today. Signs, wonders, and miracles are happening even today. You may ask me, is your ministry based only on signs? No, church. But I know that God hears and answers prayer. That is not only what we are only dependent upon, but God is using these things to prove himself by who and what he is among these people who have been in idolatry and witchcraft for years and years down to come. When they see the light of God in their lives, in their homes and family, they see these miracles. They are now open witnesses among their families and relatives to boldly declare what God is doing. Church, I want to bring before you 3 points today of what God needs in your and my life. If you and I want to see these miracles happen, if you and I want our prayers to be answered, if you and I want to see God do the impossible into possible, 3 things I want to bring before you, and I'm going to close very soon. Number one that God requires from each one of our lives. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. A very familiar passage. We've read it many times, heard many sermons over that. I'm not going to preach one, but to just draw your attention on a few matters there. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. If my people who are called by my name, who profess themselves to be Christians, who profess themselves to be believers, who call themselves as children of God, who are church-going people, who have their names on the membership list in the church, they who call themselves Christians and believers, if they humble themselves. God is seeking for a people of humility these days. Many times when we come into the house of God, when we come with our needs, we come with a position, we come with a status, we come with who and what we are. Church, let me tell you something. God is seeking for a people of humility these days. People who would humble themselves, not forgetting of who and what we are today is because of Jesus. It's He who has given us the position. It is He who has given us the status. It is He who has brought us to where we are today as people in our job, in our work, in our homes, our families. The blessings that we have received day after day, it's because of Him. That when we come to the Lord, we would come with humility. And the next thing it says is that we would pray. How much time do we take for prayer? How much time do we spend in prayer? Many times our prayers are shortcut prayers. It's like a micro oven prayer. We don't have time. We're so busy, caught up with our job, our work, our responsibility, our home, our picnics, number of things that we've got to do. We seldom take time to pray. Church, let me tell you something, and I don't want to remind you, but I stand as one of your fellow brethren. This is not about, many people sometimes think that, you know, how does he have the boldness to talk to us as Americans like this? Church, this is not about Americans or Chinese or Japanese. This is matter concerning people of God. This nation was founded on by people who got on their knees in prayer. The constitution of this country was laid by people who sought God. The constitution of this country was laid by people who went down on their knees in prayer and sought God to the betterment of this nation. The time has come today. Nobody wants prayer. People have no time for prayer. They want to remove God from every area of life, from every arena of life. They want to remove God. They want to boast about position. They want to boast on technology. They want to boast on the army. They want to boast on the homeland security. But what has happened today? People are now all the more worried and concerned about things that are happening today. I don't want to spell it out. But church, let me tell you one thing. What's going to keep this nation together? What's going to keep the families together? What's going to keep your job and your position and your finances together? It's not security. It's not the homeland. It's prayer and nothing else but prayer. Amen. Wish that we as a people would understand the effectiveness of prayer. That if we take time to get down on our knees and call out on the name of Jesus, heaven will open and your prayers will be answered. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, there are certain times when certain prayers are not answered. Some of them are delayed. God has a time. But the question is, would we still trust God? Would we still believe God? Will we still hope in God? My people would humble and pray. Number three, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. God is seeking for a people that would seek him with all their heart, not for a form or formality. We don't go to church just to put our daily attendance, just because we've got our membership there. We go to the house of God because it's the commandment of the word of God. And I rejoice being in the house of God. I celebrate being in the house of God. Church, we ought to seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. And then comes the promise. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Church, God will bring healing, not only to the land, to our homes, our families, our job, our business, our finances. God will bring in healing every area if and if we would humble ourselves and pray and seek his ways and turn from our wicked ways. God would do the impossible into possible. For the word of God says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you. It is not if, he will do it. He would do it if we would come with a sincere heart. Number two that I'm seeing. So the first thing is, God is seeking for a people with a contrite heart, with a contrite spirit, people with humility. Number two, God is seeking for a people of faith. Yes, I have faith. I believe God. I have the faith that passes all understanding. Well, check this out. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. How do you figure that out? Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have, come on church, received it and it will be yours. No, I've got to see it, then I'm going to believe it. Church, it doesn't work that way. It's very easy to believe what you see up front in front of you. Something that has happened, something that takes place, when it's there, it's easy to believe. Whatever you have asked in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. It was so well defined to me when my son Andrew, who is now 25 years old, was 3 years old and I sent him to school. We don't have a homeschooling system back in our country, so I sent him in a public school. The first day I went and left him, he was excited, he was happy. In the afternoon, I went to go and pick him up. And that's when the principal said, in the afternoon when I went, he called me to her office and she said, your son has been crying the whole day. I said, oh, I'm sorry. The break was over. I got him, brought him back home. The next day morning, I woke him up. Son, time to go to school. He was crying. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school. I grabbed him by the collar, got him dressed, put him on the scooter, took him to the school. Went in, but to drop him, tears rolling down his eyes. I said, Andrew, you've got to go to school. You have to study. You're going to be big like daddy. He wiped his tears and he said, okay. When you come in the afternoon, will you promise to get me a chocolate? I said, sure. If that will make you quiet, I'll get you chocolate. He wiped his tears and he was off in the class. I said, that was easy. Whole day I was busy running around, lots of things to do. Finally, quarter to one, I said, time to go and get my son. I ran to the school. I'm waiting there at the gate for the bell to ring. Principal called me again to the office. And I went into the office and said, what happened? Your son has been running from morning till noon, every class telling only one thing. My daddy is going to get me a chocolate. My daddy is bringing me a chocolate. I said, oh my God, I forgot. I ran out. 10 minutes more for the bell to ring. I ran out, got to the store, got a chocolate, brought it, and put it in my inner pocket of my coat. The bell rang. All the kids are coming out of the classrooms. Some of them are still standing waiting to see whether his father brought him a chocolate or not. Suddenly, I saw my son walking down the stairs with a bag in his hand, a school bag and a water bottle, and he's stepping down, and he came. He gave the water bottle in my hand and the school bag in the other hand. With a big smile, he stretched his hand out and he said, Daddy, my chocolate. Was it? He didn't ask me, did you bring my chocolate? Did you remember? He just stretched his hand out and said, Daddy, my chocolate. I want to play around with him for some time and said, Andrew, I'm sorry, I forgot. Daddy was so busy, you know. We'll go and I'll get it for you. He stood his ground. He said, no, I know you brought my chocolate. I know. He put his hand in my right pocket. He didn't get it. Put it in the left pocket. He didn't get it. Put it in the outer coat pockets. He didn't get it. Finally reached inside my inner coat pocket and into the pocket. He felt something between his hand. He brought the chocolate and held it out and he said, I got my chocolate. And all the kids who were the rest of them standing there, oh, okay. His father did it for him, not ours. But he believed, he knew, my father has said, my daddy has said, he will bring it for me. For 2 minutes at that time, I thought, if he would have told his mother, Mommy, Daddy is going to bring me chocolate, you know what she would have said? The educated, the intellectual woman who knows my whole day's program and timetable. What did he say? Your daddy's going to bring you a chocolate? 27 years I am married to him. He's not brought the sari for me till today that he promised. Chocolate for you. You know, Dad has got this thing to do, that thing. He's got his programs, going to bank, the post office, everything. She would have given my whole program out to him. Doubting said, I think he will not remember. I don't know whether he's going to even remember to bring it. But my son knew one thing. My daddy has said he will do it. So I want to ask you today, is your faith in your heavenly father, your heavenly daddy, knowing that what he has promised, he will fulfill it in your life? There will be a time, there may be a delay, but in his time, he will fulfill that for you. He's seeking for a people of faith. Lastly, and third, and I will close. He is seeking for a people of righteousness. James chapter 5, verse 16. And a very important thing. For God to hear and answer our prayer. Therefore, whenever you find a therefore, find out wherefore. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. And pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Therefore, pray for one another. Confess your sins. For the prayers of a righteous man or a woman availeth much. You want God to hear and answer your prayer. Holiness is what God requires. With sin in your life, with sin in our life, church, let me tell you, I'm going to be really blunt, but I want to be clear on this. If you want God to hear and answer your prayer, and we continue with sin in our life, sin in any form, in our thoughts, with our eyes, with our deeds, with our actions, with our speech, our walk, our sitting, our lying, our rising up, sins that are secret sins, nobody else knows about it, it's only between you and God, you need to confess them, because without holiness, without righteousness, do not expect God to hear and answer your prayer. God loves us. No matter how deep we are in sin, please don't get me wrong, listen to the church. No matter how deep we are in sin, if we can come to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Father, cleanse me and wash me by the blood of the Lamb. Make me your child. Come into my heart. Let me tell you, he will come into your life, cleanse you from all your sins, and make you his beloved son and daughter. And as we call out and cry out to God in holiness and righteousness, God will indeed hear and answer our prayer. God is seeking for a people of humility. He is seeking for a people of faith. He is seeking for a people of holiness. Church, let me tell you something. Today, maybe you are going through a situation like that. Maybe in your home, your family, your job. Maybe with your children, your grandkids. Maybe in with your finances. Maybe in your family relationship. Maybe a husband-wife relationship, no matter what it is. Let me tell you something. If you would cry out to God in humility, if you cry out to God in faith and with holiness in your life, God will set that problem right. He loves you so much. He's redeemed you with his precious blood. He doesn't want to leave you out there by yourself. He cares for you. Pastor Jim and all the elders here in the church and all of you dear ones from North Point, thank you for believing in us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for upholding us in your prayers. 1st of December, that's Tuesday, I and my wife, we go back to India to the work and the place that God has called us to. God willing, I will come back again next year and share more exciting stories and testimonies of God's faithfulness. Your prayers have not been in vain. Your generosity have not been in vain. God has done the impossible into possible. If it is God's will, we will meet again. If not, we have the glorious hope. We will one day meet beyond the blue. Let's prepare ourselves for that day. May God bless each one of you. Thank you so much.